Grace, mercy, and peace to you in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, there's a story of a man who was trapped on top of the roof of his house as the floodwaters were rising. And soon thereafter, a rowboat came along. And the fellow in the rowboat said, "Jump on in, the water's rising, we'll save you." The stranded fellow said, "No, I'm okay. I'm praying in God. He is going to save me." So the rowboat went on. Short time later, a motorboat came along. And the motorboat driver says, "Here, jump into my motorboat and we'll save you." The man's response was, "No, thank you. I'm praying to God and He is going to save me. I have great faith." And the motorboat reluctantly drove away. Now the floodwater was already touching the roof and the man was forced to the peak, and a helicopter came along dangling a rope, and the helicopter shouted down, "Grab a hold of the rope and we will save you. We'll take you to safety." And the man responded, "No, thank you. I'm praying and God is going to save me. I have great faith." The helicopter reluctantly flew away. Soon thereafter, the water rose above the peak of the house. The man was washed away and he drowned. And he stood before God in heaven, and he looked at it and says, "I had great faith in you, Lord. You were going to save me. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, but you didn't save me. You let me down. I don't understand why." And God said, "I sent you a rowboat, a motorboat, and a helicopter. What else did you want?" Dear friends in Christ, this morning we gather in this place as people greatly blessed by our God. A beautiful sun shines. And we don't stop to give thanks to God for the blessing that that sunshine brings. Birds are chirping outside, beautiful flowers are blooming, and we don't stop to give thanks to the one who has provided it and for us to senses to enjoy it. We grumble because we have to eat Cheerios for breakfast again. But there's people around the world that would be willing to eat anything for breakfast, including your Cheerios. And how often do we complain? It's, "Oh Lord, it's Monday already. I got to go back to work again." Instead of giving thanks for there's so many people in the world who would be grateful to have your job or the ability at least physically to do it. We complain for our lack of money. I hear that so often. But we spend more on entertainment than many people make in a year trying to sustain their physical life. God has blessed you and me in so many ways, and in so many ways we simply don't deserve it. We become so oblivious to the blessings that God provides, and at times we have the audacity to stand up and say, "Well, I've simply earned it on my own, by my own efforts and my own abilities." Which brings us to the gospel lesson for this morning. Here we find Jesus on his way up to Jerusalem. I wonder why he's going there. Oh, that's right, to suffer and die for sinners such as you and me. But now he stops by this village on the border between Judea and Samaria. And there, 10 men come out and approach him, and they all are inflicted with leprosy. They know who he is because they cry out, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." Jesus doesn't go over and touch them as he had done lepers earlier. From a distance, he just simply said, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And they went, and as they were going, the text says that they were all cleansed. Big deal. What does this have to do with us? "Pastor, I don't have leprosy, so this really doesn't mean a whole lot to me, except that perhaps I should be more thankful more often." But in the Bible, leprosy was really denoted as a very sinful, a very divisive skin condition. Some cases it start as kind of a nodule that become ulcerated. And before long that ulcer would break open and there's this foul smell that would come from it. And once you had a leprosy condition, you were excluded from worship in the synagogue. In fact, you were excluded from the community entirely. And you found yourself living a bunch of other lepers suffering from the same disease because misery loves company. But leprosy could be a myriad of skin conditions. But regardless of what that condition was, you were considered unclean. Leprosy began perhaps as nodules and as ulcerated sores, as I said earlier, but it always progressed. For some, it would take a hold of the vocal cords, and your vocal cords would become raspy, and your breath would become wheezing. And for others could identify you, you had to dress yourself in shabby, raggedy clothes. You had to have your face covered, and you had to cry out from a distance that you're a leper to warn them not to come near you. And so therefore is a very divisive disease, one that made you definitely feel like an outsider. But in the more severe cases, as leprosy took hold, your fingers would begin to decay and break away. Your nose would be gone. Your toes would be gone. It was a disease that literally killed you an inch at a time. And some commentator says it'd take 20 to 30 years to die from it. It was a horrific, terrible, progressive disease. While it had its physical horrors, it was terrible for the social consequences of the ancient day, because you were literally an outcast to everybody. Your family could not have contact with you. You couldn't go to church. You couldn't be anywhere around anyone else who was clean. And when Jesus encountered these 10 wretched men who had all band together and their raspy voices crying out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." It was a pathetic sight. The reason I say this, because if you look through the Bible, you get the distinct impression that we as God's people today, as sinners, often don't recognize the depth of our own sinfulness. The separation that our sin causes, because of our leprosy of sin, we too are unclean. And therefore, as this disease progresses in us, it separates us from the community. It separates us from one another. Sin causes distance to rupture human relationships, and often with even members of our own family. Just as only God could heal that dreaded disease of those ten men, God is the only one that can heal the dreaded condition that you and I are afflicted with, caused by sin. But here's the deal. Our pride at times refuses to acknowledge the true spiritual condition that we find ourselves in today. We'll stand back at times and say, "Yeah, you know, Pastor, I know I have my faults. I'd be the first one to tell you that I'm certainly not perfect. I'm only human." But let's be honest. A poor, miserable sinner? You know, I got to be honest with you. I just don't say those words when the rest of these poor, miserable sinners confess that. I just flop over them because I don't see myself as that bad. At least, Pastor, I'm trying. Indeed, who needs a Savior if you're basically a good person? That's kind of like the sins of Laodicea, that Revelation congregation that was written, "We are rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing." We've got to the point where if we can save ourselves, we are just fine on our own. But to think that you are basically okay in God's sight is a surefire way to receive absolutely nothing from Him. If these lepers would have said, "You know what? I may be sick, but the reality is I'm not really all that bad. Sure, I stink a little bit, and I'm missing a few fingers, but I'm basically a nice person, and I don't know if I really need Jesus." These men knew that they were goners, apart from the mercy that is found in Jesus Christ. And so their very first step was to confess. "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Have mercy on us because we are unable to save ourselves. Have mercy upon us because without your grace and mercy, we are goners. Mercy, like grace, is God's undeserved favor. However, grace is getting what we do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what we do deserve. You see the distinction? Jesus, Master, don't give us what we deserve. Don't give us eternal death, Lord. Show your mercy upon us and take away all of our offense. We are in such a pitiable condition, O Lord. Have mercy upon us. Show us your grace. By crying out for mercy, these men understood their condition. They weren't claiming, well, we're lepers, but we're the good lepers. We're not like those other lepers over there who are not worthy of being healed. We're the good ones. We deserve this grace and mercy. They knew that they had nothing in themselves to earn healing or to commend them to anyone else. And they certainly understood that they did not deserve the deliverance that they were calling out to Jesus to provide. And when these lepers cried out, how did Jesus respond? They were at a distance. He could have surely just walked by and act like, I didn't hear anything. Did you guys hear anything? I didn't hear a thing. He didn't say, you know what? You're going to get what you deserve. You see your condition. You see your sin is written all over your face. You are going to get exactly what you deserve. I simply don't have time for any of you. And so therefore, be on your way. No, he says, go show yourselves to the priest. Now, for many people, that seems so strange. Why go show yourselves to the priest? But if you had been excluded from the temple because of a leprous condition, no matter how severe it was, you had to go back to the priest to show him that you had been healed in order to be let back into the fellowship. And so therefore, going to the priest was that command, go and show that you are healed. And Jesus had mercy upon them. Isn't this another great illustration how Jesus Christ deals with each and every one of us? Just think about it. You come before God as you confess as a poor, miserable sinner. We are ugly in our sin, so deformed and so fractured. And we stand before God and says, Lord, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And Jesus doesn't say, go show yourselves to the priests. He doesn't say that at all. He says, go, throw yourself upon the priest. Jesus Christ beckons us to take all of our sins and all of our shortcomings and place them upon him. Because surely he took up our iniquities and he carried all of our sorrows. Now, I know it's been a while ago since X-Files has been on television, at least the ongoing program. But there's a story once where this family had this monster in their basement. And people who were sick or suffering or dying, that they would take them to that family. They'd take their loved one down the basement and they'd emerge from the basement as healed. It was amazing. Well, as Scully and Mulder went to investigate what was happening there, they found out that this creature in the basement was able to take people's infirmities upon himself. And so if you came to him with cancer, he would take your cancer upon himself, and after suffering a few days, he'd vomit that cancer out and it would be done for good. And that creature lived on and became uglier and uglier and more deformed and contaminated with diseases until finally he received the disease of death and he died. I know it sounds really like a strange story, but isn't that exactly what Jesus Christ has done for you and for me? He just doesn't heal us up of our guilt and sin by giving us some medication. When Jesus went to the cross, he had to take all of our infirmities upon his own flesh, our sin, our guilt, our punishment, and he had to suffer them all. But instead of staying in the grave, Jesus Christ rose again. And he's our high priest that gives us peace even in the midst of our suffering. And now we're completely holy and perfect because of what Christ has done for you and for me. Whenever we cry out to Jesus, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us, Jesus doesn't, he responds by saying, I did have mercy upon you. You see these marks upon my hands? You see the scar in my side? I have died upon the cross of Calvary. I've taken upon Satan himself for all of your sins. I have redeemed you. You are clean. You have the gift of eternal life. You are no longer an outcast, but you have been invited into my family where you receive forgiveness, life, and eternal salvation. But now how do we respond? Of the 10 lepers, there was only one that stopped on the way back to the priest, seeing that he was healed, turned around and went back to Jesus and fell at his feet and gave thanks. Just one. This response of the leper really hits us right between the eyes, doesn't it? We live in a country where so many people don't even have a church. I could throw a rock from this pulpit and hit houses of people who don't have a church, don't have a relationship with Christ at all. And what is worse, at times we follow right in their example. Forget about the fact that we have more than enough food to eat, we have plenty of clothes to wear, and for the most part we're in good health. Forget about all of that stuff. Remember what Jesus Christ went through to make you holy. He was living a comfortable life in heaven at the Father's right hand, but yet he willingly descended into earth and he took a bath in your sin. But so often we stand back and it's like, oh, Pastor, this is old news. You hear this every Sunday. There's got to be something more. Why am I so content on preaching about Jesus upon the cross? I kind of get sick of it after a while. Do you realize that barely 30% of our congregation worships here on any given Sunday? 30%. At times we tell God that we can't give thanks this week, but maybe next week. There are times we say, you know what? I'm not able to provide a thank offering to you, Lord, because my budget's way too tight. At times we complain, I don't hear it, but you probably complain that I preach maybe just a little bit too long. But then we cheer for a team that can go into overtime. Then we hear Jesus died for us, we say, oh, that's nothing new. Who doesn't know that, Pastor? But how does Jesus respond? He says, we're not all 10 clean. Where are the other 9? Has no one come to give thanks but this one, a foreigner, a Samaritan? Then it said to him, rise and go, get this, your faith has made you well. I think Jesus was a wee bit disappointed, but surprised that out of the 10 men, only one would come back and give him thanks. But notice he doesn't give to the other 9 their leprosy back again. Instead, he has pity upon them. Instead of punishing them, he continued on his way up to Jerusalem, where he suffered upon a cross for their sin and for my sin and for yours. And he forgave them. This morning as we gather in this place, we have so much to be thankful for. The sun is shining. It rose this morning after yesterday what happened in Minneapolis. It was wonderful. But the reality is He's forgiven all of our sins. Just as I am is a great hymn. Because I have nothing to give. It's all about His grace and His mercy. Amen? Amen. We rise together. May the peace of God, which transcends all of our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.